This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Support for This Morning with Gordon Deal comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. You're confident when it comes to your work and life. Rocket Mortgage gives you that same confidence when it comes to refinancing your existing mortgage or buying a home. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Gordon.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
New developments in Austin. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Wednesday, March 21st. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Reports from Texas say the suspect behind the serial bombings that have killed two people and injured several others is dead.
The CEO of Cambridge Analytica has been suspended for the improper use of Facebook data. Separately, hear what the whistleblower is saying.
Two students were injured at a Maryland high school when a fellow teenager opened fire. The gunman was killed.
And what's next for self-driving cars following the deadly pedestrian accident in Arizona?
There's no argument the technology is there. We know it's there. But the idea that it's going to be implemented so quickly ignores the fact that we have to be ready for it generally. We don't have an infrastructure. We don't have a population that's ready to deal with truly driverless vehicles.
Transportation safety expert Brian Filko has analysis, plus why police say it may not have been Uber's fault. We've got breaking news this morning. Police in Austin, Texas, are preparing to brief reporters about an officer-involved shooting amid local media reports that the Austin bombing suspect had killed himself with an explosive device. The Austin American Statesman newspaper is reporting that local police had located the suspect using a mix of cell phone information, security video, and store receipts. Meanwhile, residents in Austin remain on edge as authorities continue their search for this serial bomber who may now have been located. And after two more explosive devices were found in Texas, one that blew up inside a FedEx facility outside San Antonio and another found unexploded at a FedEx site in Austin. In the early hours yesterday, an explosion occurred in the town of Schertz at a FedEx ground sorting facility. One person was injured. A second device was also discovered at a FedEx center near the Austin airport yesterday morning, but was handled by authorities. President Trump even weighed in from the Oval Office.
This is obviously a very, very sick individual, or maybe individuals. These are sick people, and we will get to the bottom of it.
Meanwhile, there was an unrelated incident last night in which an incendiary device was discovered in South Austin at a Goodwill store, but law enforcement officials said it wasn't related. The recent Austin blasts have killed two people and injured several more. Police say they've received more than 1,200 calls the past 9 days. But again, recapping our top story, police in Austin are preparing a media briefing amid reports that the Austin bombing suspect may have killed himself with an explosive device. The chief executive of Cambridge Analytica said in a secretly recorded video that his political consultancy's online campaign played a decisive role in President Trump's 2016 election victory. The CEO, Alexander Nix, was suspended by the board of directors before the second part of a British TV expose of the firm's methods. Meanwhile, Chris Wiley, the whistleblower at the center of allegations, told an audience in London he's sorry he took part.
I'm trying to accept responsibility. I'm not shying away from the fact that I played an incredibly fundamental role in setting up this company. I made mistakes.
Separately, Facebook faces scrutiny by members of Congress over Cambridge Analytica's improper use of personal data from an estimated 50 million users. And for the second day in a row, Facebook shares took a hit, falling 2.5%, as investors worried that its dealings with Cambridge Analytica might deter advertisers and lead to regulation. The company has lost $60 billion of its stock market value this week. Well, you can't put a price on trust, but for Facebook at least, the lack of it is getting expensive. Facebook was under intense scrutiny already, but now revelations that user data found its way to a third-party analytics firm that was using the information for political purposes sparked a fresh round of criticism, and that's got investors anxious. European Union officials have promised to probe, while several U.S. politicians are calling for the same. So what now for the social media giant? Dan Gallagher is a tech writer for the Wall Street Journal's Heard on the Street. Dan, what do we have?
Well, I mean, when you and I don't know if you use Facebook. I use Facebook sometimes. Yeah. When you and I go on Facebook, we are essentially the product. We are what Facebook is. What Facebook makes money on is selling to advertisers the idea that advertisers can target their ads effectively because Facebook knows us. They know what you're interested in. They know what I'm interested in. So ideally, they can help show ads that are most relevant and interesting to us. But that comes with trust, because as we're interacting on Facebook, you know, we're talking with friends, we're talking with family, sharing, you know, photos, events, these sorts of things. We, the users, have this trust that data is not going to be misused in some way. So when you have stories like this, like the thing that broke over the weekend, you end up with a question of like, okay, what happens to my data? What happens to who knows about me? This arose, incidentally, it arose from a researcher that was doing a project with, you know, those quizzes sometimes we often see in Facebook, like, you know, what kind of potted plant are you, or what kind of celebrity do you seem like? And so, and when you participate in those quizzes, I think a lot of users don't understand that they are actually sharing their data with the companies that are offering these quizzes. And then it turns out that in this particular case, the data actually gave access to friend data. So if you had a friend that did this quiz, your data became visible too. So there was X number of people that participated in this quiz, but because of that, this outfit was able to round up data from something like, I think, 50 million Facebook users, yeah, which is a huge number. Mm. And so when things like that happen, you know, the users start to think, well, wait a second, is this platform worth my time in participating? Because what happens to, you know, who gets access to what I do and the information that I think is, I don't think people participate in Facebook thinking it's private, because obviously you're sharing things publicly, but you don't want to share it so widely that it's available to everybody to make use of.
Mm. I'm speaking with Dan Gallagher. He writes for the Wall Street Journal's Heard on the Street. We're talking about how Facebook could lose friends in high places, something he's written about. You mentioned, too, one of the concerns here could be that we as users curb our activity on Facebook. What could that mean?
Well, I mean, that cuts to the core of what their entire value proposition is as a business, because, you know, one thing they've done really remarkably well is there are now about 1.4 billion people that use Facebook on a daily basis. There's more than 2 million that use it on a monthly basis. You're covering, this company essentially covers roughly one quarter of the human race right now. It's huge, and it keeps growing, and it's consistently growing that number, pretty strongly for years, which is a huge base to grow from. So if people end up starting to doubt about whether, you know, their participation and time on the platform is worth it, if that usage goes down, that in turn makes advertisers think, well, is this a platform I want to spend money on if people are leaving? Because if people leave, then the advertisers start to think, well, maybe I need to put my money elsewhere. And if that happens, Facebook ends up making less money. And they've been a very fast-growing and profitable business up to this point. So that's why you're seeing the reaction on the stock in such a harsh way.
Thanks, Dan. Dan Gallagher, tech writer for the Wall Street Journal's Heard on the Street. It's 15 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Support for This Morning with Gordon Deal comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Chances are you're confident when it comes to your work, your hobbies, and your life. Rocket Mortgage gives you that same level of confidence when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. With Rocket Mortgage, you can apply simply and understand fully so you can mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/Gordon. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030. A shooting incident at a Maryland high school has left the gunman dead and two fellow students wounded. Police say 17-year-old Austin Rollins opened fire yesterday morning at Great Mills High School, about 70 miles south of Washington, D.C. A 16-year-old girl was in intensive care, while a 14-year-old boy, also struck by gunfire, was listed in good condition at a hospital. St. Mary's County Sheriff Timothy Cameron says there was an indication the teenager had a prior relationship with that female student. The sheriff says the gunman died after a gunfight with a police officer posted at the school who confronted him.
This is what we train for, this is what we prepare for, and this is what we pray that we never have to do.
A couple of details still need clarifying. The sheriff initially said both wounded students were shot by the teenage gunman, but then said in response to questions that investigators were still uncertain who fired the shot that hit the 14-year-old. It's also not clear if the gunman died after being shot by the school resource officer or from self-inflicted gunfire. It's 21 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a suspect linked with a series of deadly parcel bombs targeting Austin has been killed in Round Rock after a major police operation. The suspect was killed after detonating a device off an interstate highway just hours ago. FBI agents are now carrying out an investigation at the scene. It's being reported that the suspect was tracked down using his mobile phone activity, security tapes, and receipts from shops. The incident follows four bomb attacks in Austin and one near San Antonio. A British parliamentary committee has summoned Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg as authorities step up efforts to determine if the personal data of social media users have been used improperly to influence elections. The request comes amid allegations that data mining firm Cambridge Analytica used information from more than 50 million Facebook accounts to help Donald Trump win the 2016 election. Chris Wiley, the Cambridge whistleblower, spoke at an event yesterday.
A lot of the narratives of the alt-right, we started testing before really they gained prominence in American political discourse.
The firm's board has suspended CEO Alexander Nix pending an independent investigation. In yet another school shooting, the shooter, a 17-year-old student, was killed. A 16-year-old girl, whom authorities said had some type of relationship with the shooter, was critically injured, and a 14-year-old boy was also wounded. And the school resource officer who responded and fired off a shot at the attacker is being praised as a hero. The shooting erupted at Great Mills High School in Southern Maryland yesterday morning. This woman's 15-year-old son attends the school.
We send our kids to school to get an education. And then we get calls that there's shootings and people are dead in schools. When is something going to be done?
The shooting came 5 weeks after a high school massacre in Florida and just days before a planned student-led march in the U.S. Capitol for tougher gun laws. Songs performed by Tony Bennett, Gloria Estefan, and Run DMC are among 25 recordings being added to the National Recording Registry for their cultural and historic importance. Bennett's standard, I Left My Heart in San Francisco, is being added along with Rhythm is Gonna Get You by Estefan and the Miami Sound Machine, Run DMC's Raising Hell album, and the soundtrack to The Sound of Music.
Very good. Thank you, Jen. It's 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. If you run a small business, you know there's nothing small about it. Dell's Small Business Technology Advisors are here to help with solutions tailored to your business. Get the latest technology, like Dell laptops with Intel Core processors. Plus, with free shipping and a price match guarantee, you know you're always getting the best deals. Talk to a Dell Small Business Advisor today at 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Thanks for being with us. One of the most critical career strengths is a belief that can't be taught, self-confidence. And for many women, it's in short supply. So what can women do? Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenberger has tips. Sue, first off, what's with the lack of confidence?
A couple of things are operating there. They're usually in male-dominated surroundings, and often they shoulder more family duties at home. And girls, at least in the past, have tended to be raised to be agreeable and compliant and to try to be perfect rather than compete and take risks. And striving for perfection is one way to really reduce your own self-confidence because it's impossible, obviously.
Wow. I wonder if it's changing. I wonder if younger women these days have more confidence going into the workplace because I don't get the sense that we raise them to be, you know, compliant and agreeable like you mentioned before.
I think there is a change, and I think we will see women entering the workplace in the future with different attitudes. It's already starting, but we're talking mainly when looking at mid-career women, We're talking about women who were born maybe in the late 80s, 90s, and the change really hadn't taken root then, I think, in the way that most girls were raised.
Gotcha. So give an example of somebody who, I don't know, maybe underestimated themselves and is, you know, has a solution or a workaround.
An executive at Facebook was really an interesting example. She had a great 8-year track record at several companies of being a really good marketer. She was recruited by Facebook, but as soon as she hired on, she felt intimidated. It seemed like she was surrounded by the best and the brightest. She would take a bench against the wall in meetings. She would have a hard time speaking up for her ideas. She began a confidence log, just tracking the times when she felt either intimidated or confident to figure out what were the triggers. When she noticed certain people made her feel insecure, she actively set out to build a trusting relationship with them. She realized that her way of speaking could be more confident so that people would receive her ideas with more assurance. She really did a turnaround and was promoted. For her, though, she says it's a constant battle to keep her self-confidence high.
Wow. I remember that example. She was the backbencher, and she was told, come sit right on the couch in the middle of the room with the rest of us. And then she realized at that time, oh, okay, these are my peers. These are my equals, right?
Right. People understood, and they wanted to draw her in, which was a big first step for her in realizing that she could really make gains.
It's Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenberger. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. No one compliments you when their paycheck is correct, but make one mistake and you risk alienating your entire workforce. With Kronos, we make sure your payroll is done right the first time, from punch to paycheck. Embedded checklists, simplified workflows, a single source of truth. HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system, all with a proven implementation approach and simplified, transparent pricing. Learn more at kronos.com/payroll. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for 3 straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome aboard. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka on this Wednesday, March 21. Some of our top stories and headlines. Breaking news out of Texas. The man authorities wanted in connection with a string of bombings has reportedly killed himself as police tried to arrest him. 2 students wounded in a Maryland high school shooting. The student gunman is dead. Facebook officials meet with lawmakers about protecting user data. The Fed expected to raise interest rates today. 4th winter storm in 3 weeks in the Northeast. And the female hair accessory that's making a comeback. That story in about 20 minutes. What's next for driverless cars? After a semi-autonomous Uber vehicle struck and killed a pedestrian in Tempe, Arizona, Uber has temporarily pulled its self-driving cars off the roads. Analysis from transportation safety expert Brian Filko, also author of a book called Leading People Safely. Brian, what was your initial reaction to this?
Well, Gordon, with any accident, you know, your first reaction is on the human side and you know, sadness that it happened. So the first thing you always think about is the family and the victim. But, you know, once you move beyond that, I've thought for a long time that the technology behind self-driving cars and trucks is moving faster than we're ready for. Mm. What I mean by that is there's no argument that the technology is there. We know it's there. But the idea that it's going to be implemented so quickly ignores the fact that we have to be ready for it generally. We don't have an infrastructure. We don't have a population that's ready to deal with truly driverless vehicles.
You think that an incident like this, especially a deadly one, sets back the whole autonomous driving industry at all by like a year, 2 years, couple of years, or no?
Well, I hope what it does is that it causes them to take a time out and say, let's launch this technology, but let's do it safely. For example, after the accident, Uber pulled its self-driving automobile pilot program in various cities. And that was a reasonable thing to do. Is that Uber saying, well, we're going to just scrap the program? Of course not. But I think Uber said, look, after this fatality, we've got to investigate it, and we've got to call a timeout. And that's the thing to do. Again, my concern is that this has been self-driving trucks and cars have been kind of in the spotlight now for several years. And I just haven't heard anybody say, but, you know, what about the safety aspects? You know, are we really ready for your family and my family to be driving next to a truck on a highway with no driver in the truck?
Yeah.
I don't see it. I don't see that we're ready. I do see the technology. I do see the future with it. But, you know, the technology is moving faster than we are as a society.
We're speaking with Brian Filko, transportation safety expert, also author of a book called Leading People Safely. We're talking about this incident in Tempe, Arizona, where an Uber autonomous vehicle struck and killed a pedestrian. What do you think would make us ready, as you see it?
Well, a big part of me thinks that to have a truly driverless, no human being in the car driving, you almost need a driverless infrastructure or driverless roadways.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't believe that technology is going to substitute for human judgment. Now, you'll have people on the other side arguing and say, well, wait a minute, people have accidents all the time.
Yes.
Well, that's true, but we judge accidents per million miles, per 100 million miles, and we've got lots of great data on accident frequency with regular cars and regular trucks. We don't have that data yet with autonomous. So people to try and use that as a comparison, it's a fallacy. We don't have enough data to do a proper comparison on self-driving vehicles. I like to think about the airplane analogy. You know, we know the role of the pilot has changed with technology. And you know, the pilot does a lot less of the flying, and the computer does a lot more of it. But would you be comfortable getting on a plane that truly had no pilot?
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about technology. Okay. I think it's going to redefine how we drive, whether in our passenger vehicles or whether commercial vehicles. It's going to redefine the experience. It's doing it already. But to have no human being, you know, at or near the wheel, I just don't think we're ready for.
Mm. It's still, I think, as you alluded to, it just messes with our minds. Like, we're not ready psychologically either.
Gordon, I don't think so. I really don't.
Thanks, Brian. Brian Filko, transportation safety expert, also author of a book called Leading People Safely. By the way, Arizona officials suggest the incident in Tempe was not Uber's fault and may have been caused by the victim walking into the street without warning and not in a crosswalk. Arizona officials yesterday said they saw no immediate need to tighten rules on the testing of self-driving cars. It is 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you could join us. Welcome into Wednesday. Breaking news this morning, the Texas serial bombing suspect is reportedly dead. Jennifer will have details coming up in about 8 minutes. Meanwhile, beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, when the world is getting you down, it's nice to know that there are still some honest people out there. A Kansas lottery player said he was shocked when gas station employees tracked him down to return a dropped Mega Millions ticket worth $1 million. The Lincoln County man told Kansas lottery officials that he and his brother were on their way home to watch March Madness when they stopped at a gas station in Salina. The brother went in to check the tickets, dropped the unsigned Mega Millions ticket, and then got back in the car to go home. Employees at the gas station found the dropped ticket and scanned it, discovering it was a $1 million winner. The two men later went out to run another errand, and as they passed the store's owner's son flagged them down and handed them the ticket. The man who collected his winnings at lottery headquarters on Monday said he had no idea that one of his tickets was a winner and had noticed that one of the tickets was missing after his brother checked them. He said the actions of the store employees restored his faith in humanity.
Wow.
There's a lot of different layers to this story, right?
So yeah.
Not only do they lose the ticket and it gets found, they want to track the guy down and they just happen to see him, I guess, driving by the store or something, or, you know, maybe stopped at a light in front of the store.
Could you imagine?
They recognize the car and they flag him down. That's the, I think, the most amazing part of this whole thing. Sort of the randomness of it all, how they tracked him down.
That's unbelievable. And it wasn't like he won, you know, $300 or something like that.
Yeah.
It's a $1 million ticket?
$1 million. And everybody sort of put their heads together to try and track the guy down.
That is something. So,
yeah,
the guys who tracked him down are due somewhat of a tip.
Let's hope so.
Oh, yeah?
Let's hope they get a little something.
No, but what's the, I don't know what the IRS rule, I think it's like under 15 grand or something like that. You can give kind of no questions asked.
Okay.
You don't have to report it. So I would think, you know,
yeah,
something in that range is probably due to these good-natured guys.
That would be nice. Hopefully we get to do that follow-up
what
story.
What a story, man.
And from that feel-good story, Gordon, about humanity, to this much less uplifting, though comical moment, Australian police shared video from a failed burglary involving a man who attempted to use a hammer to smash his way into a cafe. Victoria Police said the video, recorded by security cameras, shows two men pull up to the cafe in a Nissan Maxima sedan that had been reported stolen. A man with his face covered gets out of the vehicle and starts using a hammer to strike the glass door of the cafe. The man succeeds only in making a small hole in the door, and his attempts to expand the opening prove to be slow going. The man eventually gives up and gets back in his car, but then not before struggling with the locked door of the vehicle. Police said the two men are also believed to have been involved in a home invasion and armed robbery the previous day. So these guys were on quite a little spree here.
Yeah, see that.
It seems like they were successful with some of these things, but I guess they went kind of one too many. And it seems like breaking into this cafe, which, by the way, I don't even know why they needed to do that. It looked like it was broad daylight. So it was odd that the cafe wasn't open in the first place. I guess it was closed. I hope it was closed and they weren't just smashing it just for the heck of it.
That's like the person who tries to go into a store, thinks it's a door that pushes in when it's a pull door. And thinks it's closed and just gives up.
Seems like these guys might have just had a little too much hubris going on there. They're like, you know
what?
We've done well the last couple days.
Yeah.
We stole a car, home invasion. We're going to break into this cafe in broad daylight. Mm-hmm. No one's going to find us. Of course, no security cameras or anything.
Right. Oh, and let me lock the stolen car while I'm doing this so it doesn't get stolen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. A couple of geniuses there. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. If you want the absolute best shirts around, you have to go to CT Shirts. I want you to try them because once you do, you'll never go back to some random shirt off the shelf of a department store. And CT Shirts come in custom sizes, so you're not messing with ill-fitted sleeve lengths or neck sizes. It's time to step up your game and look your best, so I got you a special CT Shirts deal. 3 CT Shirts for $99. CT Shirts use the softest, most exquisite fabrics ever. Work or casual, tie or no tie, tuck or untucked, when you're wearing a CT shirt, you'll look your best. Here's the deal. 1 CT shirt normally costs $100, but right now you get 3 shirts for just $99. That's 60% off. Go to ctshirts.com/deal. And CT Shirts come with free delivery, a 6-month quality guarantee, and free returns. If you hurry, $99 gets you 3 amazing CT shirts. ctshirts.com/deal. That's ctshirts.com/deal. Thanks for being with us. If you find yourself near a person doing plenty of coughing or sneezing on your next flight, try to change your seat. A new study says passengers who are stuck sitting next to, in front of, or behind a sick person on a plane have a good shot of catching their cough, cold, or flu. That's the finding of a new study, which was funded by Boeing and conducted by in-flight data scientists from Emory University and Georgia Tech. For their research, a group of 10 data scientists embarked on 5 round-trip cross-country flights, most of which were fully booked, and flew during the height of flu season. They documented how passengers moved around the cabin. Business Insider says the researchers found that passengers sitting in a sick flyer's row or the row directly in front of or behind that person will almost certainly come within 1 yard radius of that sick person. And since the most common way to spread viruses is by sneezing, coughing, or breathing on healthy people, spending hours in close proximity to that person is almost a surefire way to get sick. 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
According to the person suspected of delivering homemade bombs to locations around Austin this month, killing two people, has died after blowing himself up on a highway near Round Rock. The suspect was tracked down using his mobile phone activity, security tapes, and receipts from shops. Images of a person of interest were earlier shared on media showing a white male with blonde hair carrying a number of large packages to an Austin FedEx store. A spring nor'easter is targeting the Northeast today with strong winds and a foot or more of snow expected in some places. Airlines have canceled thousands of flights ahead of the fourth major storm in just 3 weeks. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio announced that city schools would be closed today.
Right now, the estimates are as much as 12 to 15 inches of snow. And that could include intense snow during the hours of school.
Shoretown's position, bulldozers, and other heavy equipment to deal with beach erosion. In California, authorities have ordered more than 30,000 Santa Barbara County residents and 2,400 Ventura County residents to leave their homes as a massive storm plots a collision course with Southern California's fragile, fire-scarred coast. This woman didn't wait for the evacuation orders.
The road gets covered in mud, and there is no way in or out.
By Friday, the system is predicted to dump 3 to 6 inches of rain along the coast and up to 10 inches in the mountains and foothills above Montecito. Accusations about President Trump's past sexual exploits have bubbled up on three fronts. A former Playboy model who claimed she had an affair with Trump in 2006 has filed a lawsuit in California seeking to invalidate a confidentiality agreement. In another development, a New York state judge has refused to reject a defamation lawsuit that a former contestant on The Apprentice brought against Trump. And on the third front, Stormy Daniels and her lawyer continue their media campaign against Trump as she seeks to invalidate a nondisclosure agreement she signed days before the presidential election. Now you have to call him Sir Ringo, or Sir Richard to be more precise. 77-year-old Ringo Starr has received his long-awaited knighthood. The Beatles drummer used his real name, Richard Starkey, for yesterday's big event. The other surviving Beatle, Paul McCartney, was knighted in 1997.
Man, what's with the delay?
I know.
Jeez. I didn't know, by the way, Ringo Starr wasn't his real name. I guess I should have figured that out, but I didn't know he was Richard Starkey.
Pretty, there you go. It sounds a little star.
6 minutes now in front of the hour. Fashion note from the Wall Street Journal. Women are wearing scrunchies again in public, and most notably to the office, where their presence is producing reactions ranging from unbridled enthusiasm to jokes that might not be jokes to silent judgment. Some scrunchie fans wonder if they'll be taken seriously while wearing one. For an answer, they can look to Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, apparently, who made a decision long ago to stick to scrunchies. The eye-catching hair accessory of the 1980s and 90s, scrunchies were also the staple of Full House episodes and Madonna ensembles. An Urban Outfitters, by the way, executive said it saw a 170% growth in scrunchie sales in 2017. Supporters say they're gentler and easier than elastics, but scrunchie haters say they're like sweatpants for your hair. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.